Welcome to Fit Food Junkies, addicted to health.
My name is Emily E., and I'm a certified group fitness instructor and personal trainer. We will not only talk about fitness and nutrition, but also explore how to build a strong mindset, have ultimate motivation, and how to live life to its fullest. Let's start on our health and fitness journey together.
Hey guys, what's up? It is almost the new year and I think we are all ready for 2021. Today, I am so excited to bring on Seth Cohen. Now, before I tell you about him, I'm sure we all know what poke, which I actually learned how to pronounce during this interview today. But if you don't know what poke is, it is diced raw fish served either as an appetizer or as a main course, and it is one of the main dishes of Native Hawaiian cuisine. Now, Seth Cohen revolutionized the food industry by creating an authentic restaurant focused on this idea of Hawaiian cuisine. Seth is currently the managing partner and co-founder at Sweetfin. I'm sure we've all heard of Sweetfin, one of my absolute favorite restaurants. It is so healthy, so light, and absolutely delicious. It is a fast, casual, chef-driven, California-inspired poke concept that has over 10 locations throughout Los Angeles and San Diego. Sweetfin was launched in April of 2015 with the goal of providing healthy, nutritious, and flavorful bowls and a more approachable way for modern diners to enjoy sushi. Today, we'll be talking all about entrepreneurship, how to start your own business, how to face failure and continue to persevere, and so much more. I am so excited to welcome today, Seth Cohen.
Welcome on to my podcast. I'm so excited to have you on. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Thank you again for coming on. It is really such a privilege. I am the biggest Sweetfin fan. That's like a Sweetfin fan.
We have a word for that.
What's the word?
Sweetfin. That's the that's our official terminology.
Sweetfin. Okay, that's easier to say. Sweetfin. I'm the biggest Sweetfin. You have no idea. I thank you for just creating your company because I'm obsessed.
You're very welcome. Thank you for being a loyal Sweetfin.
Yeah, thank you. I want to talk to you all about how you started your business today, about entrepreneurship, mindset, nutrition, and I'm just super hyped to hear about how you started Sweetfin. So first of all, tell us about your story and how did you get this idea to start your business?
Sure. So I guess my Sweetfin founder story starts at an early age. I grew up in a family that spent a lot of time eating together. So it was really important for my parents to have family dinners, and 5 nights a week, at least we would all get around the dinner table, and food was a big important part of my family history. So I grew up in the kitchen, and for whatever reason, I just loved food. I loved the hospitality industry. I became obsessed with the Food Network at a very early age, which was at the time a little bit atypical for a 12-year-old to watch the Food Network, I must say. And I just loved to cook. So when my parents and my family wasn't in the kitchen, I'd mess around, and it just became one of the passions of mine. And I went to school. I stayed in LA, went to USC, studied business, studied entrepreneurship, and fight on. And I knew that I wanted to start my own business. I wanted to create a brand and a product that promoted health and wellness, promoted healthy eating. And Sweetfin was an idea that I had with my partner from USC, Brett. And at the time, this idea, this notion of creating a fast casual brand around raw fish or poke just didn't even exist. To the point where when we started to pitch our initial investors, people thought we were talking about a Facebook poke because that was in those days. But, you know, we had the idea for Sweetfin. You know, sushi culture is ubiquitous in LA. I love to eat sushi. I love to eat healthy. And the problem with eating sushi frequently was that it was really expensive and cost prohibitive. And, you know, we looked at the market and we saw that no one had been able to scale a sushi concept or a raw fish concept well. And we kind of really thought about why that was. And We realized that, you know, we needed to make the product extremely accessible, but also of high quality. So we kind of came up with the idea of poke. We had eaten it a bunch, and it kind of checked off all of the prerequisites of what I wanted the business to be in the food world. It was healthy. It could be customizable. It was accessible in terms of affordability. And we saw this whole delivery revolution and takeout revolution happen, you know, before it really got popular. And we knew that poke was a really great way to do takeout sushi or takeout raw fish. So we created a preliminary menu, Brett and I, and it was very basic. And we had these big ambitions and plans to open up, you know, 100 sweet fins. And we started to put together a business plan, and we quickly realized that we didn't know too much about the food industry. Neither of us had owned a restaurant before. I had done a little bit of work in hospitality, mostly in music venues while I was at USC, actually. But we felt like we needed to bring on a member of the team that was both strong on the culinary side, but also someone who really understood restaurant operations. So we met Brett's family friend, who is a guy named Alan Nathan. And Alan had been in the hospitality business for over 20 years. And we pitched him this idea for Sweetfin. He really liked it. And at the time, he was running the food and beverage operations at the W with a woman named Chef Dakota Weiss, who had just finished filming Top Chef. Wow. So I was like starstruck because I love Top Chef.
Yeah.
I didn't know any chefs at the time, so I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, your childhood is coming to reality right here.
Yeah, exactly. So we sat down all together, and you know, I pitched Dakota the concept, pitched Alan the concept, and they loved it. So yeah, we became partners that day.
And, how did you reach out to him?
Alan is from South Africa.
Okay.
Brett made it to USC from South Africa. And I guess the South African business community is very tight. Brett's father was best friends with Alan's uncle. So Brett's dad was like, you should meet this guy, Alan, take a meeting. And maybe, you know, he'll give you some advice. And, you know, what turned into like him giving us advice ended up us, you know, being partners. And Dakota was just happened to be the chef at the hotel he was running. So it was serendipitous, I must say.
Wow. Okay. That's incredible. And then from there, you have 10 locations now. Is that correct?
11.
11 locations. Okay. And you have a couple in San Diego, right?
Yeah. Nine in Los Angeles and two in San Diego.
I would always go to the Santa Monica location every day after work.
OG location.
The OG location, exactly. How did you scale your business? How did you grow it? I mean, you have this idea. And by the way, now I know it's pronounced poke, not pokey. What did your trajectory look like? And how are you able to scale it to the caliber that it is now?
So we built Sweetfin number one in Santa Monica, and it was really the concept store. So we signed one lease. You know, we had plans to grow. The idea was always to open multiple locations, but we knew that, you know, we were going to treat this first location as a concept store and really spend as much time as possible working in the store, learning all the positions and really figuring out what our box was, where our efficiencies were, where our deficiencies were, and how we can improve the model. So we didn't open our second location for about a year and a half after number one, even though the category just absolutely exploded. You know, I must say, really because of our success, the community really got behind us. You know, we had lines out the door, like, you know, it was crazy. We were doing sales per square foot than Apple Store would do, which is unheard of for 1,000 square foot restaurant. You know, all that is to say, we were really, and we have been, and we continue to be very deliberate about our growth and to make sure that as we're opening new locations, we're always improving. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, Brett and I and Dakota and Alan, you know, I spent, you know, almost 3 months straight in that store, meeting the neighborhood, you know, taking orders, making bowls, just so I could understand, you know, what is it going to take to scale this business? And mm-hmm. as we started to really learn about the business, we started to put systems in place to enable us to grow. So little things from how can we control costs on the food side? So maybe it'd be a good idea to make sure that we're weighing all of our bases and our proteins to maintain consistency, right? You don't want one location serving larger portions versus another location. Little things like that.
Right.
Templates for labor, you know, real systems in place, employee manuals to make sure that, you know, our team members knew how to properly interact with guests. All of those systems we built over time, and we've refined our model, and we're continuing to refine our model. And this year specifically has taught us a lot, and kind of what our plans for growth are. And you know, we've just been slow and deliberate, and you know, we're able to take criticism and improve upon you know, what we've built, and hopefully if we're improving on a day by day basis. You know, that will help us continue to grow in a positive way.
And for you, what does growth look like? How big do you want to scale your business?
I mean, we feel like Sweetfin can really be an international brand. Mm-hmm. The category exploded. It's got too big too quickly. The barriers to entry for mom and pop restaurateurs were too low. And, you know, we finally seen some correction in the market, and we feel like there's really room for one to two very strong brands and players to win this category. And, you know, we look at the sushi market in terms of that trajectory in terms of popularity. 30 years ago, sushi was similar to poke, right? It was a new thing. It was novel. People started to try it. And slowly but surely, you've seen these sushi concepts and love for Japanese cuisine specifically really go global, everywhere from South America, all over the United States, in small towns and big cities. It doesn't matter where you are. People want to eat healthier. We see the rise of, you know, this eating in a bowl taking off even more. Our entire menu is gluten-free, designed on purpose. So we fit into so many different types of diets, pescatarian. We have
good for LA, right? Yeah,
exactly. Vegan bowls, people or celiac protein bowls, and that's something we're rolling out now, is some functional style bowls. But we feel like we can be easily 100 units in the U.S. We're starting to explore opportunities. We'll probably open a couple more in LA. Mm-hmm. We're looking at Orange County as a new market. Mm-hmm. We probably do one or two more in San Diego, and then we're going to venture out of California, and we're looking to Arizona and Texas and maybe Florida as future growth opportunities. But we feel like the time is now to grow. Mm-hmm. The market's corrected itself. The real estate market's favorable for us. And, you know, we have a great brand, a great product. We've maintained quality. We've maintained consistency. So, you know, we're excited to grow.
Yeah, no, that is so exciting. And I'm along with you guys for the ride, because I am a big Sweet fan. But I want to ask you about kind of differentiation. If I'm building a business, I mean, you're starting it in LA. Also, West Third was your first location. Right away, you have so much competition between all the health food restaurants surrounded by you. So how do you differentiate yourself in a saturated market?
So fortunately, the market's not as saturated anymore, but that was a question we constantly asked ourselves when we were starting the concept. And number one, you need to have the best product, period. You can have a great brand and a great Instagram and food porn and cool locations and design, but at the end of the day, people are coming back because the product is good. And the product needs to stand on its own. So, you know, I thought we were very smart in bringing in a real executive chef with 20 plus years of experience, who's worked all over the country, all over the world, and could really bring an innovative twist to the category into what we were doing. And so we've always had this chef-driven approach with our chef, Dakota Weiss. And with that chef-driven approach, we've wanted to run our stores like a real kitchen, as if we're operating a restaurant, a full service restaurant. So that means everything that we make at Sweetfin is made in-house. So everything's homemade and everything's made in scratch from scratch daily. So,
and you can tell, like when I go there, you can tell it's as authentic as possible.
Yeah. And, you know, we don't make sauces from a commissary. They don't come from a commissary. Every store is making sauce every day. Every store is butchering fish every day. Every store is breaking down produce. We're making our own taro chips. We're making our own crispy onions. Everything that we sell at Sweetfin, from our lemonades and iced teas, are made in-house. So that quality difference, I think, really comes through in the product quality. So that was number one. And then everything flows from having the best product.
Right.
I think also innovation is really important. So we've consistently, over the last 5 years, innovated with our product, adding new menu items, adding new bases. We collaborate with chefs, some of the top chefs in the country, every 2 months to create unique bowls. We developed a new plant-based menu called Plant Shop, which is a ghost brand. So, you know, we're working on some really cool new stuff for 2021. So on the product side. So I think, you know, we've innovated, we've had the best products, and, you know, everything is very, controlled on the brand side, from our design to our social media to the way our website looks. You know, we want to maintain high brand standards, similar to we maintain our standards in our products. So everything fits in very nicely, and it's a tight package.
How has COVID affected you guys, and how have you changed or transformed your business due to the pandemic?
COVID.
It's a loaded question right there.
No, it's a lot. And it's been very challenging for the hospitality industry, but it's made us a better company. I have to say, we already had a very strong delivery and takeout percentage business. So that's only increased over the last 10 months now. You know, but at the beginning of COVID, everything was very uncertain. We shut down our dining room. We shut down outdoor dining, and sales, to be honest, just plummeted. You know, I remember March 14th, we were down like 95% comp to a pre-Monday, which was crazy.
Crazy.
Because everyone was afraid to leave their house. There was rumors that you could get COVID from touching takeout bags. There was rumors that there was a run on food. So everyone was at the grocery stores. But slowly but surely, we've been fortunate enough to gain our sales back. We even opened a location during COVID, which was, you know, something we're really proud of. And we've proven to be resilient during COVID. And if this were to continue, you know, we would survive here. Right. You know, I think that's really because our product is so accessible from a delivery and takeout standpoint. And I got some statistics from Postmates that in the months of, I believe, April, May, and June, we were the number one ordered brand on their entire platform, which was awesome to hear. Despite what the media is saying, I've seen some articles that said that have been saying that comfort food has won the pandemic. I think people, at least in LA and San Diego, wanted to remain healthful and wanted to keep their health and wellness in mind. So I think that's one of the reasons why we've done really well. And I think, you know, what we've done is we've taken a lot of the familiar flavors of sushi and we've made them more accessible. So someone who's craving sushi but isn't interested in spending $80 on a takeout sushi meal now looks at Sweetfin for $15, and it's a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
You know, we've also leveraged our technology a lot, and we're fortunately building better new technology for takeout delivery in-house, which will be rolling out in the next hopefully a couple of weeks with a new loyalty program and app. And we installed takeout shelves, so someone can come in and have a contactless experience where they don't need to speak with any of our staff or interact with any of our staff. So, you know, we've pivoted well. We developed a ghost brand called Plant Shop, which is a vegan salad and bowl concept. So you can order that on Postmates or DoorDash or Uber. And we've done a good job, and we've been able to gain efficiencies with our labor model as well, which is nice.
And what do you mean by that?
You know, we, when we unfortunately when everything got shut down, we had to let go some of our team members just because really we had nothing for them to do. We were pretty slow at the very beginning. What we've really kind of created is a ghost brand, meaning our entire, nearly all of our operations are back at house. So our cooks, our line cooks, and our chefs, our managers in our store, we don't have much, at least for the time being, interaction with our guests, just because we're not really allowed to. So the labor costs associated with having front of house team members is no longer there. And we figured out ways just to be more efficient in the kitchen. So we've been able to bring our labor costs way down and actually increase profitability during a time where we see a little bit of decline on the revenue side.
So by bringing your labor costs down by not having as many employees, is that kind of how you were able to even open up your new location, by investing into that?
Yeah, and we're looking for new opportunities. Pasadena as a market, you know, we really like. There's, you know, prior to COVID, the real estate market was really hot. It was a landlord friendly market. Potential tenants would really have to fight hard to get into a space, and the landlords are really dictating the terms of the leases, you know, their TI, their tenant improvement allowances. And again, it's unfortunate that a lot of businesses have closed. But in a way, it will help entrepreneurs and new entrepreneurs that are starting in this business, because I think the market has corrected in terms of the cost of real estate. The numbers just weren't making sense anymore. And now we're seeing a correction in the market where real estate costs are starting to come down. There's more space available, and it will be easier for us and other concepts to expand.
That's so exciting. Everything you've talked about, when I think about going to get poke, you guys are the number one place I think of. You could taste the quality and just the experience. You mentioned resilience, and that's something that I'm really passionate about. And in order for your company to be resilient, the co-founder has to be resilient as well. I just want to talk a little bit about mindset. How have you been resilient throughout this entire process? You mentioned that your revenue decreased substantially. How were you able to strengthen your mindset throughout this process and become resilient as the co-founder?
Well, anyone who's an entrepreneur knows that it's a it's a cliche, but it's an emotional roller coaster, and that's just the truth. You know, you have really high highs, and sometimes you have really low lows, and everything in between. So, I think you know, I try to limit those. I try to be as even keeled as possible, not get too excited when things are going well, not get too down when things are not going well, and I think it's important to have a plan, you know, for us, whether it's through budgeting or setting goals and setting intentions and making sure that on a daily basis, you're doing everything you need to do to stick to that plan. But yeah, it can definitely be a challenge. Getting into COVID was, I'm not going to lie, it was very stressful. It was something that came out of left field. Yeah. But, you know, actually, something my dad kind of taught me growing up, and he always reminds me of this. He's also an entrepreneur, runs his own real estate finance shop, and the guy works so hard every day, you know, puts in 12, 14 hours a day of work. And something he always told me, he's a big sports guy, and that's something that a passion that the two of us share together. But he says, you know, I go into every day with the score being 0-0. So it doesn't matter what happened the day before. You know, I'm not gonna get too excited if I had a great day of business, or I'm not gonna get too low if I didn't have a great business. I go in, I put my head down, and I get to work. And that's something that's always resonated with me, just to keep me motivated. And when you have, you know, over 100 employees, and you have investors, and you have responsibilities, personal guarantees on leases and other things, you have no choice but to just push through and figure it out. And that's just the bottom line. There's too much on the line for you to fold.
I love that. Give me the chills, because there's so many days where I go into the next day and you bring the failure, whatever you have carried over with you from the day before, but start 0-0. I love that. I'm going to start utilizing that every day. It's a good mantra. Is there something that you do every day to be the best version of yourself and strengthen your mindset to make sure that you know, you're on target to lead Sweetfin in the right direction?
Yeah, I guess the biggest thing that I do that's important to me is I'm always believe in taking care of my body and, you know, trying to remain as active as possible. So I work, you know, even through the pandemic every day, try to get some sort of physical activity in, whether that's getting on my bike, going for a hike, you know, working out in my gym. It just like, it releases, you know, just a wave of clarity for me. And, you know, it puts me in such a better mood, just to continue the day. And that's so important. I don't understand people that can be lethargic and sit at their desk all day. And that's one of the main reasons why I wanted to be an entrepreneur, is for that flexibility and to be hands-on and to not be tied to my desk. And so that's something that helps me a lot. And, you know, for the most part, try to maintain a healthy diet and not
eating Sweetfin.
A lot of Sweetfin, a lot of home cooking, which is good.
I love it. In terms of Sweetfin, have you learned anything through nutrition that you've been surprised about that you now know is, I don't know, just has very health boosting benefits, especially right now, very important?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've always been an athlete and I try to push myself as much as possible. And I never understood these, like, you know, fad diets,
right?
Not eating carbs and people. I still don't understand this ketosis thing. And we have a keto bowl, which fits into that.
Yeah.
That type of
you got diet. It.
But I think I didn't learn it, but it's only reinforced, you know, from a nutrition standpoint, just eating a well-balanced meal.
Yeah. That's what it all comes down to.
Yeah, I think so. Like, you know, exercising, pushing your body, and then your body needs nutrients. So, you know, nothing from Sweetfin comes from a can. Nothing is processed. We're using whole fruits, whole vegetables, whole grains, fish, healthy, you know, proteins in everything we do. So you can't go wrong. So, you know, I'll get a bowl with, you know, salmon or yellowfin tuna, or even I love our vegetarian options with avocado, which is a great healthy fat. I love our forbidden rice, a great carbohydrate. And pack it with vegetables, and it's a great meal. It's filling, it's healthy, and it gives me everything that I need to push through the day.
Yeah, I love it. I love Sweetfin when I have it. I feel rejuvenated and energized, but so healthy, and it's so light too. So
yeah, and that was one of the main, you know, ideas when we started the concept, is we wanted. You know, our guests to be able to come in, have a quick lunch, and not feel lethargic after Sweetfin. You know, there's so many places you can go to lunch and you get back to your desk and you're just like exhausted. And you know, what we saw, which has been amazing, is, you know, people kind of think of us as a lunch concept, but we're really not. 50% of our sales come from lunch and 50% come from dinner. So, you know, when we're in stores, we'll see women and men coming from their workout classes, coming in for a healthy meal. You know, we'll see cycling clubs coming in after a long ride. So I love to see that.
Yeah, I love that. It's really my favorite. Really obsessed with it.
You're high.
Seth, how can people connect with you or even learn more about Sweetfin?
Sure. You can visit our website at sweetfin.com. You can go on our Instagram, the handle Sweetfin, and then me personally, feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn, or if you'd like, shoot me an email, seth@sweetfin.com. It's pretty simple, and yeah, happy to connect with entrepreneurs and anyone who's trying to get into the food world or any other business. I love to help. I love to learn and get new ideas from people and collaborate. So feel free to reach out.
Thank you for saying all that. I want to ask you my last question. At Fit Food Junkies, I ask everyone this last question. Our motto is addicted to health. So Seth, what are you addicted to?
What am I addicted to? That's a dangerous question.
I know.
I'm addicted to feeling good. So, you know, I like balance. I like to work hard. I like to play hard. You know, I don't only eat healthy. I don't, you know, go crazy in the gym every single day. I think, you know, having a well-balanced life is important, but I do like to push myself from a endurance side, from a side. So I'm a glutton for punishment a little bit. So I'll get on the bike and go for a long time, and I kind of like that pain. So that's an addiction I think I can share on a podcast.
I love it. I love it. Well, thank you for sharing that addiction. When you were saying that pain, have you done anything that like that created that good pain that, I don't know, just kind of made you like break through a little bit, whether it's in the mind or body?
Yeah, I mean, I've done, you know, I got into cycling years ago, and it's such a mental sport. You know, it's just you and the bike and the road, and it can be very challenging. It's an endurance sport. To do something for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 hours at one time is tough. Yeah. But you know, when you finish that, you know, 100-mile ride or whatever you're doing, and you get home and you just feel accomplished, and you know, it's painful on the way there, and you're just alone with your thoughts and you want to quit. But you know, I guess it's similar to that entrepreneurship mindset we were just speaking about. Yeah, those long rides are a challenge, and I definitely tell me a lot about myself.
I teach cycling classes, but then I've also done cycling outdoors, and I've done a triathlon, and it's a little different. I could tell you that from indoors to outdoors.
It is a little different when you're out there alone and the wind is blowing in your face, and it's tough.
Oh yeah, but I know what you mean by that good pain. It's like that good challenge that you need.
Yeah. I'm going to get on my bike after this. You inspired me.
I love it. I love it. I love it. That's awesome. Well, Seth, thank you so much for coming on today. And I hope everyone who's listening has tried Sweetfin. If not, you got to go try it. It is my absolute favorite restaurant, and it always puts me in a good mood. Like if you ever kind of don't know what to eat, or you want something light and just feel good after it, it's literally the best and highest quality, best taste. So highly, highly recommend. Big Sweet fan over here. But Seth, thank you for just sharing how you started your business with us today and all about your mindset. And I hope you have a good ride right now.
Thanks, Emily. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Seth.
Thank you guys so much for listening today. I hope you learned as much as I did and were really inspired. Maybe you want to start something in 2021. Despite failure or the crisis that's going on in the world right now, we can always face failure and we can always persevere. So I hope you guys really got that message out of the interview today with Seth. Make sure you guys connect with Seth. You can reach out to him on LinkedIn, and please check out Sweetfin. It is so delicious, and you guys are missing out if you have not tried it yet. Also, connect with me at Fit Food Junkies on Instagram, and I hope you guys have an amazing new year. I know most of us can't make too many crazy plans this year, but whatever you're doing, set those goals right and make them strong for 2021. I just want to take a second to truly express my gratitude and thank you all for listening to my podcast. It really means so much to me. And I started this podcast in the beginning of COVID, and I've been prolonging it for so long, and it finally was just the catalyst to make me start my podcast. And I've learned so much from interviewing such inspiring people, and it's opened my mind, my perspective so much throughout this crazy year. So I really thank you all for supporting me on this journey, and I hope you guys have gotten so much out of my podcast. Please reach out to me. I'd love to hear from you, and I hope you all have an amazing New Year's. I will see you in 2021, and thank you so much for joining the Fit Food Junkies journey with me.